I want to share from a brief passage that's very familiar in John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verse 15, and I'll read in your hearing. When Jesus had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus has asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you." I want to share on today in a brief topic one key to move into the next level. One key to move into the next level. So briefly, our topic today is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Look to your neighbor and say, "Forgiveness." That's easy enough, isn't it? Forgiveness. A key to the move into the next level is forgiveness. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this moment. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share. I pray, Lord, that hearts and minds will be opened. I pray, Lord, that I won't be seen, but you will be seen. I pray, Lord, that you'll get the glory in everything that is done. In these next moments, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your precious anointing. We thank you, Lord, for all these people represented here. We pray, Lord, that you'll just make us better so we can live better lives. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So I know there's a comedy show tonight. And I don't know how much people are going, but they say it's a comedy show, so I don't get out much with these kids. You don't get out much, so I don't know if we'll be able to go. But if anyone wants to babysit for free, let me know. I'm not a comedian, but one of the pastors that I watch, he always starts with a joke, and I was like, you know, it's interesting that he does that. He always starts with a joke. So I'm gonna share one of the jokes that I think is really funny, that my father used to always take me to these shows. We call Cornelius Glasgow. Anybody know who that is? This is a little too old for some of the people here. So he had this character named Doom Doom, right? So Doom Doom's mother, right, sent him to the store, and she gave him 50 cents. She gave him one quarter to buy some bread, and another quarter to buy some cheese. And Doom Doom was always happy because his mother never really sends him to the store to do anything. So Doom Doom got the two quarters, and he went back to his mother. He said, "One quarter for bread, one quarter for cheese." Doom Doom mother, he says, "Yes, Doom Doom, just please go and buy the stuff so all of us could eat." So Doom Doom, in all his joy, took the quarters, walking down. Ham, cheese, ham, cheese, ham, cheese, ham, cheese, ham, cheese. He got to the store. I know I said bread, but ham and cheese sound better. He got to the store in all his joy, picked up the ham, picked up the cheese. Now Doom Doom is feeling real accomplished, really proud of himself. Now went to the cash register, got to the register, Doom Doom froze. He started to sweat, feeling disappointed. He didn't know what to do. Doom Doom got to the register and said, "Ma'am, I can't take this stuff because I don't remember which quarter for the ham and which quarter for the cheese." So Doom Doom went back home with no ham, no cheese. Y'all caught it? Nobody get? Okay, all right. So let's start. I have a whole bunch more where that came from. You can use that when you get home. Now that you're laughing in a good mood, let's talk about forgiveness. Now, this story that we're about to share is the story of Peter. In chapter 18, Peter, it was right when Jesus was about to be taken before the Sanhedrin council, right before he was about to be judged. And Peter was one of Jesus' most faithful disciples, one of his most faithful followers. When you hear about Jesus, you heard about Peter. So Peter was the one that always ride or die. Anybody have a ride or die friend that you could depend on? Somebody you know in the middle of the night you could call, they're going to be there for you. Somebody who's going to check you when you're wrong and praise you when you're right. Peter was that kind of friend to Jesus. He was his right hand. It was so much, Peter was so ride or die. You ever have that friend that you were with before you were saved and you were talking together and it looked like a fight was going to happen and your friend just seemed like you about to get in trouble and they start to fight before you? Anybody have that friend that will cuss somebody out on your behalf? Because they think that you're in trouble? Peter was that kind of ride or die friend for Jesus. He's like, when they arrested Jesus, Peter didn't try to deliberate. Peter pulled his sword out and chopped the man's ear off. This is in the Bible. The Bible has some really interesting stuff in there. Peter chopped his ear off and was like, you're not going to mess with my friend. And Jesus had to be like, yo, just let my Father's will be done. But Peter was still so ride or die when they took him. Of all the disciples, Peter followed Jesus and went with him. So Peter was not just this, you know, fly by night. He was not a doubting Thomas. He was a faithful disciple. So Peter got to the court, and Jesus, when they were getting there, Jesus said, you know, Peter, you're going to deny me. So chapter 18, verse 16 to 17 was his first denial. In 8:25, verses 25 to 27, Peter denied Jesus two more times. Now, I want to get you to think about what it would be if your ride or die friend, if the person you trusted the most, when you needed them, you turned your back on them. When you were in a position of needing that person the most, you had to turn your back on them. I think Peter ended up in a situation that he didn't prepare for. Peter, like a lot of us, we mean well. We want to do well.
Help us, Lord.
We are faithful.
Help us.
But sometimes we just can't meet the mark. In our lives, if we think and imagine of all the situations and the times when we've crossed the line that we said we're never going to cross. We've done something that we said that we're never going to do. We've betrayed somebody that we said that we're never going to do. A lot of times, we've done things in our lives that we said that we'll never, ever do. Has anyone ever done something that you said that you will never, ever do?
Definitely.
Or if you did it, you said, I ain't going to never, ever do it again? And then the next day you end up in doing it again. So the same thing, I ain't going to never do this again. It's the last time. And then the next day you do it again.
Yes, sir.
Like Peter, Peter said, Jesus, I will never deny you. If I have to die, we're going to die together. And it's easy, with no pressure, he denied him.
Yes.
What happens when you betray yourself?
Yes.
What happens when you betray your own ideals, your own standards? When you say something for the last time, and the last time doesn't mean the last time. What happens when you do things like cheat, steal, lie, hurt people that love you? When you swear you'll never cross that line, but you see yourself crossing that line over and over? What happens? What do you do after you've let yourself down, when you've let other people down? What happens when people you love have turned their back on you? When you've given up on your standards, when you've doubted your beliefs, when you've given up on your dreams, your thoughts, your hopes? What happens after you have failed?
Right.
What happens after you have failed? In 2014, a lot of us, including myself, have gone through a number of failures.
Yes.
You could boil it down to what Peter did in this situation is that he failed.
Mm-hmm.
He tried his best, but he failed. What happens when you fail?
Jesus.
What do you do after a failure? Now, some of us may fail in family. Some of us may fail in business. Some of us may fail in relationships. Some of us may fail a test or your business, what you wanted to start, or the house that you wanted to start, or the dreams that you had. You failed in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do when people have failed you? That people that you trusted and people that you counted on have hurt you and let you down. What do you do? I just have one simple thing to share with you. If we're going to go to the next level,
yes.
If we're going to move forward in our lives, if we're going to be better for next year, even before we get to New Year's, you have to forgive yourself.
All right.
I know it's a hard concept. He's like, I'll forgive myself. We have to forgive ourselves. Now, in this story, what's the alternative to not forgiving yourself? What's the alternative to not forgiving yourself? Now, you have to remember, Peter denied Jesus, but it was somebody else that betrayed Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Judas betrayed Jesus.
Yes.
But the thing is, with Judas never asked Jesus to forgive him. So Judas ended up killing himself because he died with that guilt.
Yes, good teaching.
When we don't forgive ourselves,
yes,
of our mistakes, we're doing what Judas did. We're killing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're so ashamed and we're so hurt, we're so let down, that we don't want God to know about our weaknesses. So like Judas, we just kill ourselves, hurt ourselves, and we end up dying. Now, Judas didn't have to die, but because he didn't want to forgive himself,
yes,
he couldn't get past doing what he did.
Yes.
So he killed himself. Now, how many of us have been in situations or been in circumstances where we've hurt ourselves to the point that we're our worst enemy?
Jesus.
That even though God is saying that you need to get over this, even though you know you could get better, you still hold yourself to the mistake that you made earlier this year.
Yes.
You're still letting people judge you based on what you used to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're letting people define you by your faults rather than where you're going.
Yes.
I know you still struggle with that problem. I know you still drink. I know you still curse.
All right.
But don't let that define where you're,
yes,
going.
Yes.
A lot of us spend too much time concentrating on our faults.
All right.
Concentrating on our failures, that we start to take on that identity,
yes,
of thinking that's who we are.
God
didn't call you to look at yourself as a failure. God called you to look at yourself as a victor.
All right.
That you're better than your problem.
Uh-huh. Better.
Your problem doesn't define you.
Yes.
Your mistake doesn't define you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not who you are. That's something that you did. That's not who you are. You're not a liar. You're not a cheater. You're not an adulterer. You're not. That's not who you are.
Yes, yes.
That's the stuff that you deal with.
Good teaching. Yes.
And truth be told, some of us are just better at hiding it than others. I'm sorry. So why beat yourself up?
Yes.
Why not take a step and do something great Because you are trying to live down and dumb down what you are because of a mistake you have. Because of a problem that you have. Now, in the Bible, it talks about a whole bunch of people that God uses who have significant problems. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we just say, oh, those are the people in the Bible that I don't do here. I have to be perfect. I have to do this. I have to do that. That's not how we live. That's not how we are built. That's not how God designed us. Our faults make room for our gift. That thing that you are struggling with. Okay, let's see. Some people like to party. I like to party, me, myself. I like to go out. I like to have fun. I like to enjoy.
Yeah.
Now, if I always just stayed and concentrated on that, I will miss that. If I go out, I could engage anybody in a conversation. Mm-hmm. If I just thought that was the end of it, and first one's man, I shouldn't go out, I should be home, this, that, and that. That same gift of being able to talk to everybody, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, is the same gift that allows me to be here. Uh-huh. Preaching to people that I haven't seen in months. Talking to you, sharing with you, keeping you engaged and keep paying your attention. It's the same thing. The same people that you know that plot and plan to take people down. You know the people like that who are so strategic that they talk to this person, then they call over and talk to that person, and then they make sure they have a backup plan, and they think ahead 2 days. What will happen in 2 days if that happened? If that person used that same gift of gossiping and planning somebody's demise, could be the same gift that they could use to plan somebody's success. All you have to do is shift your attention. Shift your attention away from your faults. Don't curse yourself. Don't kill yourself because of what you choose to do. But when you refuse to forgive yourself, you're putting a death sentence on your dreams, your future, and your relationships. Do you ever meet people? Every time you meet them, they always have a problem. The first thing that they say, oh, woe is me, the crosses that I bear. No one knows the trouble I see, nobody but Jesus. Every time you see them, they have a problem. You know them by their problem. You know so-and-so going through. You know so-and-so. You know them by their situation. Now, I'm not saying that in 2015 don't interact with those people, but you have to start to spend time around people that are trying to do the same thing as you, that are trying to think the same way as you do.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for you to forgive yourself. It's hard for you to get over problems in your life when people are constantly reminding you of their problems and your problems. Uh-huh. You need to surround yourself with people that love you. And that's what Judas didn't do.
Yes.
What Judas did was isolate himself. He got in trouble and he said, I need to go away. And I just wanted to say this to somebody. If you're in here and you're trying to live better, you're trying to live a life for God, but you're making mistakes, it's hard, you're not doing everything, the worst thing you could do is isolate yourself. All right. Now, I know it's hard because church people are hard to be around. They'll talk about you and tell you that you need God and you need to be saved and you need to be set free. I know. Hey. However, you cannot let these people dictate your life. So like Judas, don't isolate. Come into the light. If Judas had just came back to Jesus, Jesus would have forgave him. The second thing I want you to do is accept God's forgiveness.
Yes.
Now, I know this is a hard thing to do. I want you to accept God's forgiveness. See, God has already forgiven you, but it's us forgiving ourselves.
Yes.
God wants you back. A lot of us want better in 2015. A lot of us want to do all these things. All of us want to do these great things, but we're still not accepting God's forgiveness. We're still holding on to what people said. Now, it's interesting. In the story, if you hear that Jesus in the Old Testament, God always says the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, if you think about it, Jacob compared to Abraham and Isaac, Abraham and Isaac were really, you know, saved, put together people. Jacob, his name meant trickster. Jacob wasn't perfect. Jacob stole his brother's birthright. Yeah, that's right. Jacob was a thief. Yep. Jacob was a liar, a deceiver. But God always still said the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, God didn't leave him out because of his faults. God didn't exclude him from the Bible because of his misgivings. Now, it's interesting because Jacob's name was chained to Israel. And that's when he become, you will say, saved. Jacob's name was chained to Israel when he changed his life around. But God made sure he didn't say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He didn't say when he got it right, that's when he was my son. No, he said the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That means even before he got it all together, God still loved him. God still accepted him. See, a lot of us are waiting for us to get it all together. And God is saying, forgive yourself now because I've already forgiven you. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God doesn't want you put together. God wants you as you are. Don't try to do something that you can't do on your own. A lot of us are in here trying to fix ourselves for the last 20 years on this problem. We've been struggling and saying, when I get it together, when I get it fixed, I'm going to come to God. When I just get this last thing, I'm going to start my business. When I just get this last bit of money, I'm going to build my house. When I just get this last thing fixed, I'm going to put it all together. You cannot deny God's favor in your life. You cannot deny what God wants to do in your life because you don't have it all together. God wants to use you just as you are. I'm not asking you to change. God will change you. All he wants you to do is accept his forgiveness, accept his love, his compassion, his peace. Yes. But no one could do that but you. Jesus. And I met a, well, she wasn't my classmate. I think she was maybe four years, believe me, Miss Wheatley over there. And I congratulated on her business. She was like, yeah. What? Yeah, I pay attention to Facebook. And I'm sure if she stood up here and told you that she had a lot of things that may have stopped her from starting. Mm-hmm. But she did.
Yeah.
She just did it. She started her business and she did it. I met Sister, I almost called her by her nickname. That was going to be funny. Sister Rosemary. And I went and saw her house and it just blessed me because despite the struggles,
yes,
she still did it.
Yes.
I see people here doing great things, Jesus. And they didn't have it all together.
Yes, that's it.
They didn't have all the support of everyone around them, but they still did it.
Yes.
Now, I could use
Hallelujah.
Examples from the Bible, but there
yes.
are people around you.
Yes.
The difference from someone who is doing
yes.
and someone who is not
yes.
is that someone doesn't care, one, what people think.
That's
They know they don't need to have it all together.
Yes.
They have the faith, and they're just going to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
But you have to accept God's forgiveness.
Beautiful.
After you accept God's forgiveness, what you open yourself up to is the third thing.
Mm-hmm.
You now have the power to do great things.
Yes.
After you accept God's forgiveness, you have the power to do great things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Peter, when Jesus came back and was risen from the dead and was among Peter, he said, when he told the women that came, he said, go get my disciples and Peter. Because some may have thought that Peter was no longer a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus still sent for him and Peter.
Yes.
Now, a lot of you here are and such and such. And such and such. They mention everyone else. Go get the disciples and this person. Go get all the business owners and this person. Go get all the married people and this person. Go get all the successful people and this person. A lot of us are disappointed right now in our lives because we're not included in the group.
Jesus, my Lord.
Now, let me break that down. The disciples were a group of people. But Jesus said, go get my disciples and Peter. A lot of you are disappointed because when you get the call, it says, go get all the successful people. I want all your family members to come. I want all the great people to come. I want all the people that are going to be successful. I want all the people that are going to do great things. And you thought you're being left out. But God says, and sister such and such.
Beautiful.
And brother so and so. The reason why you are after the end is because God is calling you to do something specific.
Yes.
You see, it was and Peter because it was on that rock that Jesus built his church and Peter.
Hallelujah.
You see, God has to separate you from the group to do something great. So that's why he had to separate you from the disciples. That's why he had to separate you from your friends, your family. That's why he has to separate you from all these people that have been keeping you back and such and such. Don't be disappointed if you are separated from the pack. What God is calling you to do, you cannot do in the same group that you were with before. Don't be disappointed because God says, and you. You're like, why am I always alone? Because what you're called to do is so special that you can't take your best friend with you. You can't take your family with you. There's some things that God wants to do in your life that you can't take anyone else. You can't be worked on with anyone else. It just has to be you and God. So don't be disappointed when you're alone. Don't be disappointed when you don't think that people understand. Tell people that God is working on my end. After Peter came back and was reinstated, Peter preached one of the first messages, one sermon, and 3,000 people were saved. Now, if you look at the text, when it said Jesus was going around doing his works, it never said Jesus saved 3,000 people at one time. It never said Jesus, he healed people, but at one sitting, 3,000 people never came to God. But when Peter preached, 3,000 people got saved.
God set it up that the guy who deceived him, that the guy who let him down, the guy who turned his back on him, the guy who was ashamed, the guy who was disappointed, the person who felt that God couldn't use him anymore and felt disabandoned and felt let down, the guy who failed, God used him in his failure to do something greater than anyone else was able to do. The reason that we're here is because of that first message Peter preached in a gathering called the church.
My Lord.
So God used a mistake, a failure, somebody who didn't have it all together, to start one of the biggest organizations in the world called the church. God used a mess up, a failure, to build the biggest organization in the world.
Yes. Beautiful teaching. Beautiful teaching.
If God could use a failure, what can God do with us? What can God do with you? A lot of us spend time talking about what we want to do, what we want to become. If I had this, I'll make this happen. If this could change in my life, I'll do this. If I could just fix this last thing, I'll do this. If I didn't have this problem, I'll do this. I just want to share with you that God wants you just the way you are. God doesn't need you to be perfect. He doesn't need you to change. He just wants you to accept his forgiveness. So right now, I just want everyone to stand.
My God. Good teacher. Good teacher. Yes. Beautiful teacher. Yes.
I want all of you to stand on this last Sunday afternoon of 2014. That if there's something that you had on your mind that you just need to forgive yourself, let go, just put that thing in the forefront of your mind. If there's a struggle that you have, that you've been struggling with, and that it stopped you from becoming what you know that you've been called to do, I want you to put that in the front of your mind too. I also want to think, you to think about the people in your life that you need to forgive. People in your life that you just need to forgive. You've been holding that grudge against them for 5 years, 5 months, 5 days. You can't move to the next level unless you forgive them and forgive yourself. If you want to do something great in 2015, I want you to raise your hand. If you want to have a better 2015, I want you to raise your hand. All right, I see those hands. If you know that you need God to help you to make it, to get there, but more so specifically, I'm going to stick to what God has asked me to do. If you need to forgive yourself of your past mistakes, your past failures, I want you to know that God is able to forgive you. God loves you. God cares for you.
It doesn't matter what you've done, how often you do it. I just want you to forgive yourself. And the best way to do that is to accept God's forgiveness. So as you get ready to come to the altar, I don't want you to come here saying, God, I'm sorry I messed up again. No, I don't. We're not going to God with that. You've told God you're sorry too many times. We're going to change it around. Just say, God, I accept your forgiveness, and I'm available for you to do what you need to do in my life. I don't want you coming up here and say, God, God already know you already confessed your sins. You confess them every day. The thing that we stop short of is what the pastor says. God is, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you. But we don't accept the forgiveness. We confess, but we don't accept. And I feel that there's some people here that just need to accept God's forgiveness. Saying, God, I'm not perfect, but I'm going to accept your forgiveness so you could do what you need to do in my life. And so next year could be greater than this year. No longer am I going to be labeled by my mistakes and my failures. So in these next moments, as our praise team sings, we'll gather around the altar for people who just want to accept God's forgiveness and God's love. And we'll pray together saying, God, I just accept your love. And I'm ready and available to do great things in your name. So I ask you, please come to accept God's forgiveness so we could pray together, make a commitment together, go forward together,
yes,
be happy together. Remember, God don't want no perfect people. Being perfect is overrated and it's too hard.
Yes.
God wants you just the way you are. And I think that's a great God. He don't need you perfect. He don't need you to have it all together. He just wants you.
God has way.
And if there's someone here that doesn't know this God and this loving, forgiving, compassionate God that we're speaking about, I invite you to come to get to know this God. A God that loves you in spite of your mistakes. No matter how many times you mess up and fail, he still loves you. God knows you're going to mess up. Just accept the love. I'll rather mess up and know that somebody has my back no matter what than to be out there doing it on my own. So I ask you to come.